So the fickle whims of culture should never be a measuring stick for what's right. Cultural fads, they have a way of shifting with societal winds. It's not always a good thing. There was a time when targeting kids was considered fully out of bounds. Not so much these days. I mean, even just this morning, I was looking at social media where some friends of mine had been down to our state capitol, had a prayer time on the steps of the state capitol, praying over the things they've been working on to rescue our kids from the whims of leftist liberal culture. And somebody jumped on that social media, and their response was, "Just so you know, we're coming for your kids. Come for our kids, reach for them, and you might bring back a nub." Look, let me make an analogy. So both my grandfathers were smokers. It was just the way of things in their era, right? My maternal grandfather smoked Raleighs, smooth tasting with rewards coupons that you could redeem for a new fishing pole if you saved them up. My paternal grandfather, he smoked filterless Camels. They were rough. I mean, don't ask me how I know. It's not like I ever snuck out back and had a smoke behind the shed or anything silly like that. But both brands marketed their wares to just the kind of men my grandfathers were. Raleighs were endorsed by Babe Ruth. They seemed to fit my Army General grandfather who served through three wars and helped develop the hydrogen bomb. Camels, they were a tough, no-nonsense working man smoke from my coal miner steelworker grandfather. Marketing is everything, right? And Big Tobacco was constantly trying to find ways to broaden its appeal in a competitive market. And then along came a suave and debonair guy, a guy that every guy wanted to be like. He had all the ladies, he drove all the best cars. He was James Bond, the Marlboro Man, and Audie Murphy all rolled into one. And his name was simply Joe Camel. So yeah, Joe Camel was the branding mascot for Camel cigarettes made by R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company. He burst onto the U.S. advertising scene in 1988. He immediately became one of the most recognized advertising images in modern history. But Joe Camel fell afoul of society when the Journal of the American Medical Association conducted a study and found that, yeah, Joe Camel was instantly recognizable by 91% of children. And those same children also associated him with cigarettes. Old Joe Camel's images was on par with Mickey Mouse in terms of its appeal to kids. Another study concluded that Camel's underage smokers had grown in number exponentially as a result of the Joe Camel campaign. So in 1992, a San Francisco attorney filed suit against Reynolds Tobacco, alleging that Joe Camel was intentionally targeting minors and that, you know, R.J. Reynolds was profiting from underage smokers. In fact, studies show that R.J. Reynolds' underage smokers' market had grown from $6 million to over $476 million in just 4 years during the Joe Camel campaign. So, at the behest of Congressman Henry Waxman, who came from California, the Federal Trade Commission investigated, and they issued a finding that, yes, R.J. Reynolds had unreasonably and knowingly targeted minors. But it became a court battle. It was a fight. It was a back and forth. It was a no, we have. Yes, you did. We didn't do it. Yes, you did do it. But then came the smoking gun. The smoking gun. In 1974, R.J. Reynolds had an internal memo that surfaced somehow. It was leaked out. It emerged that evidence was in that memo that R.J. Reynolds had indeed targeted young smokers ages 14 and up. The memo spoke of a direct ad campaign for young smokers saying, quote, "These are the smokers of tomorrow." And the jig was up. And in 1997, R.J. Reynolds retired Joe the Camel. So yeah, Joe Camel had actually outraged the authorities. His likable cartoonish face was deemed to be dangerous and intentionally designed to cultivate a strong first and early impression for children, aka the smokers of tomorrow. Look, there's no excusing what R.J. Reynolds' targeting of kids was. But don't you wish that the worst thing upon us these days was a cartoon camel encouraging kids how to smoke? In my lifetime, y'all, in my lifetime, the powers that be saw fit to lead a charge against a major corporate entity because the corporation was believed to be enticing kids into an unhealthy lifestyle. Adults were literally grooming kids to be the next generation of smokers. And yet now, we have drag queens performing at so-called family-friendly events. And we're told that questioning this behavior is tantamount to domestic terrorism and somehow homophobic. Parents and concerned citizens are berated for daring to question, complain, or protest the idea of children being exposed to men cross-dressing and hypersexualized women's clothing with exaggerated female characteristics. Listen, men who quite literally are lampooning and objectifying women while dancing provocatively and making lewd remarks should never be acceptable. And opposing this distorted behavior is somehow though screeched at as being a gross affront to the rights of the gay community. It actually requires very little effort to mentally assent to the idea that parents should always be wary of men who dress as women and cavort in front of children. There is nothing normal or comfortable about any of it. The history of drag itself is a full buffet of madness, and yet they come, often by invitation, to schools and libraries, community centers to host their drag queen story hours. But ask yourself this. Why the makeup? I mean, if all they wish to do is just read stories to kids, why dress up like clownish women when you're really men? Because it's not really about the reading, and everybody knows it. This is about the clearly stated purpose of grooming the next generation. By cartooning women in front of children, they are attempting to normalize abnormal and unhealthy behavior. So how do I know this? Because they say so. They say so themselves. It's no secret. You can read it yourself on the organizational website of Drag Story Hour. Here's the quote. Brace yourselves. It says, quote, storytellers use the art of drag to read books to kids in libraries, schools, and bookstores, and Drag Queen Story Hour captures the imaginations and the play of gender fluidity of childhood and gives kids glamorous and positive and unabashedly queer role models. In spaces like this, kids are able to see people, they say, who defy rigid gender restrictions and imagine a world where everyone can be their authentic selves. Listen, there is nothing about what I just said this should be acceptable. And the idea that they just announced it as unabashedly queer role models. A role model? So being a role model means to encourage others to emulate behavior. A role model is somebody who allegedly is setting an example for other people to follow. In short, what they're saying on their own website, the leadership of Drag Story Hour, is admitting that their sole purpose is to create the next generation of drag queens. Why is that any different than Joe Camel? Short answer, it's not. But then I have to ask this question. Have we as a nation gone so far down the path of depravity and indifference that we don't see the irony in knowing that Joe Camel is considered bad for kids, but men dressed as women performing provocatively in front of children is somehow not? I'm going to be honest with you. Joe Camel's got nothing on these drag queens. And the truth is, if you're going to target kids, you're going to have to face the consequences. We can't stand idly by and let this happen. That's my philosophy.